side. I'm looking for the treason that I knew in 65. Beware the South is yours. Oh, 1984. Oh, see, come see, remember me.
Say that all my movie love, you said it would last, but I guess we grow in 1984.
Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Douglas Rushkoff, a world-renowned media theorist whose 12 books include Life, Inc. and Program or Be Programmed. He is a commentator on CNN and a contributor to The Guardian, Discover, and has also made the PBS documentaries The Merchants of Cool, The Persuaders, and Digital Nation. He advocates for digital literacy at codeacademy.com and teaches at New York University and the New School. And his latest book is Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. And his latest article at CNN is Edward Snowden is a Hero. Welcome to Background Briefing, Douglas Rushkoff.
Hi, it's good to be with you.
And why do you think Edward Snowden is a hero?
Well, I mean, I think he's more of a hero against the machine, I guess, than I usually think of him as a hero in terms of national security issues and all. I feel like too many people as individuals and now our institutions really accept technology at face value and just employ it sort of blindly and automatically. And what that requires is, human intervention. You know, we need some human beings to stop and say, well, wait a minute, do we want to be doing this? And maybe the other humans should understand what's going on here.
Well, one of the things that you point out in your article, Edward Snowden is a Hero, Douglas Rushkoff, is this peculiar disconnect, a kind of a voluntary double standard on the part of most of us who accept the fact that these big data servers like Google and Facebook can disseminate through the databases and record and pass most of what we type on our computers and say on our cell phones, and use this for commercial purposes. And that is, after all, why Gmail is free. It's not that this is a gift from a big corporation. They're getting something out of it. And yet we're up in arms about the government doing the same thing.
I know. I was kind of surprised. That's why, the president says we should have an open conversation about this. I mean, I feel like in some sense that's all all that's been exposed here is the same kind of thing that, the government says it's looking into about us. You know, no particular investigation was exposed, no content was exposed, just the process itself has been exposed. But yeah, I assumed this was going on the whole time. I mean, to me, this is just a confirmation of what I was hoping most people understood, but given the way people are up in arms and how classified this was supposed to be, I guess this is new information for most people, but really, a necessary education for people who, who type email as if it's just going out into the ether. They don't seem to realize that they could be, may as well be etching this into the side of the Parthenon for how long it's going to last and how it could be used in the future.
And it's amazing, though, that people write an email and say how much they like chocolate-flavored yogurt or something. And the next thing, suddenly they're getting ads for chocolate-flavored yogurt thrown at them. They don't make the connection.
Right. And that's the easy part. I mean, that's, the simplest way this stuff works. That's not the, people feel somehow assuaged, I suppose, by the fact that, the government's not listening in on our information. They don't have to listen in on our information to know what it is we're saying, or to know who we are. When they're trying to determine whether someone's about to get pregnant or about to become gay or about to catch the flu, about to buy a car, it doesn't really matter what you're saying in your email. The kind of thing they're looking at is, what sorts of websites have you gone to? How frequently have you made phone calls? The kinds of data points they use are not directly connected to the information that's gleaned from it. You know what I mean? It could be the change in rate of phone calls could indicate that you're going to get sick. The change in the diversity of email addresses from which you open email could be indicating whether you're about to get married or not. So it's not, they're not logical connections between data points and information about us. So when we're thinking about privacy, it's really, you know, they can figure out if you're going to be cheating on your spouse, not by what you're saying to your friends, but by data points that you may not even realize are statistically connected.
So again, Douglas Rushkoff, the author of the new book, Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. We discussed your book before and the notion that, I used the famous Winston Churchill quote, turning it on its head, never before in the field of human endeavor has so much been said by so many about so little. And it's the kind of the tyranny of trivia. And you see people sitting at lunch at a restaurant, four people all staring at their palms. Clearly, there's an enormous societal change underway and not necessarily for the better. But in your article, you talk about Snowden, the leakers, du jour's warning about a turnkey tyranny. So just elaborate on the idea in terms of how much we've let the evolution of our machines dictate the evolution of government policy and how it's affected society.
Well, it's interesting. It's machines plus plus profit, I suppose, plus corporate profit. I mean, because while, you know, you or I or our friends sitting and tweeting and sending messages may not be adding value to their lives by remaining in that state of perpetual distraction and perpetual interruption, they're creating tremendous value for the companies that are tracking this information. You know, the more time that we spend online, the more value we are creating in the form of data or big data for someone else. You know, we're not really the customers of these technologies as much as we are the product, or I suppose even more the labor force for these things. But the more time we spend online and the GPSs in our pockets, you know, the global positioning satellite software that we use for to find the best restaurants and whatever else, to use our Google Maps and other things. I mean, those things are on all the time anyway. So we're also creating a data trail just as we move around with these things. Just being in motion creates a tremendous data trail. And if you know where a person is, how they've gotten there, how their movements have changed, you have tremendous. I mean, that's a more precise data stream than anything we could type in our emails. You do create a big data repository that does bring us very close, if not already there, to the kind of turnkey solution that Snowden is talking about. You have such a wealth of information about the entire population of people who are walking around with these things. I mean, it's as if we've, you know, injected ourselves with Mission Impossible, you know, silicon chips to track ourselves, except instead of being injected, we just bought these things. You know, we line up outside the Apple store at night to get, you know, to get the next version. We hunger to be tracked in this way.
So it's not the UN black helicopters that are tracking it. It's our friendly Googles that give us our free email.
Exactly. No conspiracy required.
So what's your sense then of the other aspect of the story, which I've been covering, which is the extent to which is what's going on with Snowden, these programs like PRISM are also a huge swindle because of secrecy and because of the post 9/11 transfer of wealth from government hands or public coffers into private hands. There's been enormous, enormous swindles going on, and we simply don't know whether any of this stuff works, and it doesn't matter because, you know, there's no oversight and we can't even find out. I mean, that to me is a different form of tyranny.
For sure. For sure. But, you know, it's funny. I'm actually interested also in the way that the entire machine is now going to be turned against Snowden himself. You know, he knows as well as anybody that, that everything that he's done has been tracked. And followed and pursued. You know, it's a fascinating situation now where we really have the agenda of technology itself, if you will, or technology of technology and business actually superseding the human agenda. You know, we're going to see many more examples of human beings in one way or another caught up in the machine, whether, and these are machines running on operating systems that we sometimes don't even acknowledge. So we have people caught up in the mortgage scandal, which is really, on the one hand, yes, it's human greed, but on the bigger sense, as I see it, it's a system that's gotten out of control. It's, you know, derivatives on derivatives and the way things are being traded. Or in the case of privacy, it's technologies that are being employed automatically rather than consciously, which is leading to, a surrender of certain human agency in the face of big government. You know, or in the case of our kids and Facebook and Twitter, it's them surrendering their privacy and really things about themselves they don't even realize to companies because of an underlying operating system that they're not even aware of. You know, they're aware that they have all of this newfound agency because they can, you know, write things and write blogs and write tweets and say what they feel, but they're not really aware of the operating systems circumscribing all of this activity. You know, who are they really paying up to? So I feel like it's the same story being told again and again in different ways. You know, that the agendas and agency of human beings, you know, being surrendered in one way or another to operating systems and to technologies that we don't really understand.
Well, just in closing, Douglas Rushkoff, what can citizens do to free themselves from the machine? Do they have to go off the grid?
You know, I think on the one hand, it's a matter of just understanding that it's there. I mean, if you're going to live trying to escape the surveillance cameras at the 7-Eleven, you know, you're going to have a very hard existence indeed. But yeah, on the one, I think it has to do less with avoiding technologies than enhancing humanity. Using technologies willfully and by choice rather than in their default settings. You know, it could be as simple as having a cell phone that doesn't ring unless it's a member of your family who you've already checked or, you know, part of your VIP list rather than automatic calling, or choosing consciously, do I want to be on Facebook? Do I want to be constantly updating in this way? Do I want my GPS on or off? It's really just choosing to use things consciously rather than accepting everything on its default.
Well, Douglas Rushkoff, I thank you so much for joining us here today.
Oh, gosh, thank you, and thank you for what you do.
Again, I've been speaking with Douglas Rushkoff, who's a world-renowned media theorist whose 12 books include Life, Inc., and Program or Be Programmed. He is a commentator on CNN and a contributor to The Guardian, Discover, and has also made the PBS documentaries The Merchants of Cool, The Persuaders, and Digital Nation. He advocates for digital literacy at codeacademy.com and teaches at New York University and the New School. And his latest book is Present Shock, When Everything Happens Now. And his latest article at CNN is Edward Snowden is a Hero. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about the unwinding.